you, Jesus. All right, this is Sunday morning, the 4th of March, 2018. Did anybody have any problem this week speaking things they really didn't want? It's been like an onslaught, speaking things that we don't want. You know, the songs we just sang, I'll speak to the mountains. Lord, this is not really even the teaching, so I'm going to have a few scriptures, a couple of scriptures here the Lord gave me this morning. If I can find it, this is a new Bible. I don't have everything marked, but I'm going to try to find it here. See, the Lord, there's times that He does do things, but for the most part, God does things because we ask Him and we petition Him. Thank you, Lord. Well, I guess we won't read the scriptures. I'll just talk to you about them. I was looking for the passage in Ezekiel where God told Ezekiel, He said, "See this valley of dry bones." God didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to resurrect these bones." He said, "Son of man, prophesy to these bones that there might be life." And He prophesied and they stood up. You know, the bones came together and then the sinews came on the bones and they stood up and God breathed life back into them. And it was the resurrection of the nation of Israel. And see, the Lord had him speaking forth, prophesying, calling those things that be not as though they were. This is the God that we serve. When He sees a problem, He speaks what He desires. He speaks His word. We speak His word when we see things we don't desire. The little lady over in 2 Kings or 1 Kings, I don't know if it was Elijah or Elisha at this point. But anyway, it was Elisha. She had a son that came by promise and he died and she wouldn't tell anybody about it, but she just said, "I got to go see the man of God." And every time somebody'd say, "Why? It's not the new moon. It's not the time to go." And she said, "All is well. All is well." Now you tell me there, it's pretty dire circumstances, but she would say, "All is well." I submit to you, beloved, today that God does not put you in situations and circumstances for you to talk about your problems and what you have or what you see or what you feel or what this talking head is saying. He puts you in these situations so you can call forth what you desire and what you want. You see the trap of the devil. He's come for your words. We've been looking at that in the parable of the sower for 2 weeks. Wait for it. He's just looking for an opportunity to get you off of your stand and go on His direction. See, He also has a plan for you. But that's what the Lord said to me this morning. Charles Capps used to say, the Lord told him, or he has it in one of his books, "I've told my people they can have what they say, but the problem is they're having, or they're
saying what they have."
They're saying what they have. Thank you. Subtle ways. This is where maturity comes in. It's a real discipline to recognize that it's the devil. Because, you know, we've worked it our whole life. So we're learning how to work the kingdom of God now. We're coming out of the kingdom of darkness. We've been transferred into the kingdom of light. We're learning to walk by the Spirit. You know, when something presents itself, I go to the Lord. I've been making it okay, Lord, what do you say about this? Instead of start reacting to it, what do you say about this? I had to say, "Lord, is the word given? What's the word? You said you'd give us wisdom to say." This week I had something. The Lord said, "Ignore it." Okay. Was it easy? No. But That's what he said to do. See, he's wanting us to know how faithful he really is. He's faithful all the time. That's one of his greatest attributes, is his faithfulness. And he's not going to abandon us. He's inside us. He's there to the end and for all eternity. Never leave us, never forsake us. So he's there all the time and available to help us walk this life. In every little thing, whether it be a big thing or whether it be a little thing. But if he can't get you to control that mouth, see, the devil's game is to try to get the situation to cause you to start reacting. That's what they're sent for, reactions. I taught something, it's probably been last year sometime, there's reacting going on all over the planet. There isn't just reactors in the world, you know, those colliders and all those things, that, and nuclear reactors. There is reaction going on all over the planet. People are reacting to this and reacting to that, and they're seeing it. They're seeing it come to pass. But we're not those that react. We're the ones that act on the Word. We act on the Word of the Lord. And so we have to really guard our hearts, especially in this world, in the way it is. We have to. The Lord will show us what to do. That's why he says, be still, know that I am God. Wait. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Lord, teach me to wait. What does he mean there? We just lay around? No, he's saying, keep that trap shut until I give you a word to speak. That's what he means. That's what it means to wait. Wait for the answer that you need in this situation. See, I've made this statement before, and I'll make it again. God sees the whole parade, and so he looks down, and he knows all the battles that will come. He knows all the answers to all the problems that will come in your life. That's the kind of God he is, the kind of God that counts your hairs. The kind of God that watches a sparrow, cares when it falls. So he's in the middle of you and every detail of your life. He's even got angels that record things for him. He keeps track of you 24/7. So he's so into the details of his children and everything. He wants to help in everything. And how much of the time do we let him carry some of it, but we carry the rest? Yeah. So learning to wait, learning to not be frazzled at the circumstances that come. I had a situation this week. I don't get mad often, but I got mad. I mean, fuming, flames, I'm telling you. I even felt it in my face. I thought, oh God. But you know what? You've just got to come back around and say, speak what you want about this. When you see somebody acting a way you don't like, you have to say, Lord, thank that they act like this. They don't act like that. See, this is Satan's, that's the way he does it. This is, see, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It really is. Little things that he tries to interject before you to try to get you, push your buttons, I'll just put it that way. And that's exactly what happens. But we're getting better. We're getting to where the Lord's showing us to be more keen concerning things, not to be so quick about things, but to take it slow. Because what does fear do? Fear invokes a reaction. That's what it's made to do. That's Satan's MO, is to get a reaction out of you. If you're reacting, you are not acting, I guarantee you. So, said, Lord, help me to act, not react. If I don't know what to say, help me to not say anything. Help me to wait. We're not just waiting for harvest. We're waiting for how to respond at times. You do better to say nothing than to just say a bunch of stuff that you'll have to regret and maybe apologize for later. You know, there's just a certain people in your life that just, oh my gosh. They can push them buttons, can't they? Oh Lord, help us to walk by the Spirit. Even Jesus learned to walk by the Spirit. He didn't let the Pharisees and their lies and the things they accused him of invoke him to react. The Lord would give him some word of wisdom that just shut them up. See, that's what waiting on God does. He'll give you a strategy or a word or a statement that will shut them up to where these ones that are used by Satan to come against you, they can't say anything in rebuttal. Like the coin with Caesar. It says they were astounded at the wisdom that he had and they couldn't say anything, so they left. Isn't it about resisting the devil and he'll flee? Well, Jesus was dealing with physical people, but he was dealing with the devil. People think, well, he was just tempted once. Oh, heck no. He was tempted all through. Everywhere he went, these, you know, dry bones showed up. And Jesus had to wait on the Lord. That's why he bent down and wrote on the ground. I've heard people go into all this dissertation about what he did when he was writing on the ground. He's just doodling. He's waiting to get an answer to give those people. Well, if you're without sin, cast the first stone. He shut them all up. That's how he handled things. That's how he handled things. He didn't react. He might not say nothing, but all of a sudden here comes this word of wisdom that just astounded. That they, God, we're going to have to go back and study a while to come up with something else to come against him about. See, this is where the Lord wants us to be. He can trust us with his words, to speak his words and not to speak just what comes off the top of our head because Satan pushed our emotions. I don't like it when somebody gets me to that place. Like I said, it doesn't happen hardly ever, and when it happens, I hate it. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't like feeling this way. I don't like these feelings. Praise God. Well, you know what? I'll just start in. This is the Prophet's Corner, uncut. We'll just go ahead and do that with this. Oh, Lord, help us. Purging my temple is the name of this. I am purging my temple, my church, my body. I'm driving out the merchandising. Those who have allowed money to become their God. It has become a profit to them, but a loss for the kingdom of God. I do not want merchandising in my church. I said, take no thought what you need of. Pray and ask me or even decree and I will provide. Freely you have received, freely give. Now he's talking about not charging for ministry. He's talking never. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Jesus told the disciples. We're fixing to put some stuff up on the website, the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and Sunday mornings is going to be called Spiritual Boot Camp. So people can have free access. We're not going to charge money. We're not going to make books and tapes and things and charge money. That's merchandising. Where I guide, I will provide always. I know what you need even before you ask for it. The gospel is not a business yet, men have turned it into a busy marketplace. That's why Jesus purged the temple and ran the money changers out of the temple. He said, you've made it a den of robbers. You've made it a marketplace, some translations say. I'm well able to supply those who are obeying me. Well, now, you see why many are promoting their stuff over promoting my stuff. Everywhere you go, I mean, I don't really watch Christian television on occasion. I might look at something on YouTube, but there's a common thread that I see throughout all of it. They're all with it, well, pretty well, all of them, beating the bushes for money. It turns me off. I mean, the last church we went to, they did the offering. The offering was as long, sometimes longer than the sermon. And it was always, we need to come bring money for this, and you need to bring money for that. Just whip them. I even had somebody call me on the phone asking me to give money. They were having some women's deal if I would donate money to get gift cards for the women. And it just turned me off. It bothered me. I'm thinking, Lord, what's the deal here? This bothers me. Just money, just bleeding the people, money. I'm just thinking, oh, I hate it. Okay, they have forsaken the first love, what I told them to do for the kingdom. I will spew them out of my mouth. I will drive them out and thoroughly purge my threshing floor. I'm not saying the Lord's going to spew these people out of his mouth, but what I'm saying is God never said charge for everything or anything. I will drive them out and thoroughly purge my threshing floor. The axe will be laid to the root. I'm raising up David's after my own heart, after my own plans, and not their own. You know, David was so set apart and different was. He knew he was not going to build the temple, but his son Solomon was. And so David, from his own personal money, stockpiled, they say millions of dollars, and all kinds of gold and silver and jewels and things for the temple to be built. That's why God loved David the way he did. He loved his house, and he would go to great lengths and do anything for God's house. They could care less about themselves, so I can entrust them with the true riches. They will not be merchandisers. They will promote my stuff, not their stuff. My book, my tapes. Now, if the Lord's told somebody to charge and do that, then I guess that's between them and God, not me. But I know what he said to me. My gospel kingdom promoters. It's my stuff, not their stuff. My gospel kingdom promoters, not self-promoters. Thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord.